Hallelujah. welcome to Christ the Rock. My name is Ronald Surgeon. I'm one of the elders here. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Oh, goodness. Every time I worship here, I get messed up. It's like every week. It's crazy. Just ruin you. Jesus. Yeah. Welcome back, Chris Bennett and Becky. Thanks, dude. And all the others who are gone. Welcome back. Yeah. Chris came back. I saw him when I was walking in the front area here. I said, man, you've gotten dark. You know? And in my mind, I was thinking, we have another token black guy on staff. Kidding. I need to time myself. It's funny. Goodness. Oh, man, it's good to be here. Today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. And the title of today's talk is Violence. Violence. Sounds weird, right? Like, should I leave? No, don't leave. Don't leave. We're talking about the kind of heart we should have, the kind of paradigm by which we should approach the kingdom of God. So we'll begin in Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46. I'll do a little explanation, and then we'll walk through some stories what God had did between Matthew 3 and Matthew 11, displaying how the kingdom of God was taken with violence. And after that, I'm going to share some stories with you of what God has been doing this year and stuff. So in Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46, it reads, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. How valuable is the kingdom? Based on this text, ask yourselves, how valuable is the kingdom of God, the reign of God over your lives? How valuable is it? How valuable is it? The kingdom of God is so valuable that no sacrifice is too high. The kingdom of God is so valuable that no sacrifice is too high. Notice what the text says. The text says, in his joy, he sells all. So he doesn't get rid of everything grudgingly in order to have God's reign, in order to have Jesus. He gets rid of everything in his joy because he sees the value of the kingdom. Nothing else can be compared to it. So no cost is too high. Notice that he doesn't sell one thing in order to have it, or two things in order to have it, but everything, because nothing can be compared. And he did it joyfully. He's like, take my car. Take my computer. Take my house. Take my porn addiction. Take my entertainment addiction. Take the American dream if I can have Christ. If I can have Christ, take it all. No sacrifice is too high. The man sees that Jesus is worth it. And he really is, right? He really is worth it. And I want to tell you some stories today of people who are violently going after the kingdom of God. Saints, I think about dying all the time. I don't mean like dying to myself. I think about that too. But I mean like dying. Like my life expiring. I think about that all the time. I think about eternity all the time, of leaving this world, being transferred into the next, standing before Jesus. And I think about wasting my life with trinkets. Trinkets. Spending my energy, my money, the rest of my life for trinkets. And standing before the King of the universe with trinkets. Standing before him and say, look what I spent my life for, Jesus. My precious, holy, single, God-given life for. I don't want to stand before the King with trinkets. And I don't want you to stand before the King with trinkets. I don't want to waste my life, and I don't want you to waste yours. God made us for so much more. He has big plans for you. Big plans. I mean, big. He says in John chapter 14, verse 12, he says, I'm going away. He says, but the one who believes in me, the works that I do, you will also do, and greater works than these you will do, because I'm going away to the Father. Do you believe that? This is not a declaration we're making about ourselves. This is one that he's making about us. You can insert your name into the text and be confident that what Jesus said about you is true. That's what Jesus is saying about you. This is not what you're saying about yourselves. So I don't want us to waste our lives. I don't want you to waste your life on inferior ambitions, but on kingdom agendas. I want you to waste your life in such a way where you can say that dying is gain. Not that dying, oh, my 401k. Dying, oh, I never got to go to the islands. No, dying, I get to see Christ. I want us to live in such a way in which dying makes you happy. It's gain. I don't want you to waste your life on inferior ambitions. There's a song that says, upon Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Everything else is sinking sand. Sinking sand. Don't live for sand. Sinking sand. Don't live for it. Live for Christ. Dream for Christ. Work for Christ. Do arts and crafts for Christ. Serve in childcare for Christ. It's all for Christ. So stop living for sand. That goes for me too. So these precious co-laborers of whom I will be speaking, I keep coming back to the thoughts of Jesus that at the end of Matthew, in the middle of Matthew 11, Jesus makes a statement about the type of people who are coming into the kingdom between Matthew 3 and Matthew 11. And he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, he says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, The kingdom of heaven suffers or experiences violence, and the violence take it by force. And the violence taken by force. So let's go to Matthew 3. I'm just going to walk through some stories here. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, we see John the Baptist comes on the scene. He's proclaiming repentance to Israel. Give up your ways for Jesus' ways. Abandon your ways for Yahweh. He proclaims the gospel of repentance. And then in chapter 4, Jesus is being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. Spirit, lead me where my feet. What? My faith is without what? Borders. Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested. To be tested. So we see that in chapter 4. And at the end of chapter 4, Jesus recruits his first disciples. And he says, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. So he says, I'm the person you should follow. Follow me. That's the process. The product is fishers of men. Says, come follow me. So the early disciples immediately leave their nets and their boats and they follow Jesus. Notice the word immediately. Afterwards, a leper defies protocol and he rushes through a crowd and falls down before Jesus and says, heal me. Jesus reaches out his hands and he touches him and he heals him. Later, we see a man healed from legions of demons, and he hurries to tell 10 cities of how great God's mercy was upon him. What happens after that? A tax collector, he's sitting at his booth, and Jesus comes and says, follow me. And what does he do? He forfeits his career. Immediately. And then he throws a party for Jesus and invites all of his lost friends. After that, four friends, they bring their paralyzed friend to see Jesus. The house is so crowded, they can't get through. So what do? They climb up on the roof and they demolish someone else's house. It's like someone kicking in your door. You know? You got Billy Graham in the house having tea and stuff, and someone kicks in your door. Where's Billy? It's crazy. Violence. Violence. What happens after that? A woman, she's been bleeding for 12 years. She spent all her money with physicians trying to get better, and she couldn't. And when she should not have been among the crowds, she goes. Because in her heart, she said, if I could just touch his clothes, if I get near enough to him to touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And so she shoves her way through the crowd. When everyone is pressing upon him, she touches his clothes. Jesus notices something that he didn't notice at first. He said, power has come out of me. Power has come out of me. Who touched me? Disciples are like, what do you mean? Look at all these gazillion people around you. Who touched you? It was me. And the woman comes and discloses herself. She says, I touched you. Jesus says, your faith made you well. Violence. Violence. Later we see a ruler of the synagogue. He humbles himself and he comes to Jesus and he says, would you heal my daughter? Would you bring her back to life again? In that same moment, that very moment, his daughter is raised up again from the dead. Then we see two men, they're blind, and they hear Jesus coming in, and they're like, what's going on? They said, Jesus of Nazareth is here. And they're like, where is he? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. There's a huge crowd. They're groping their way through. Screaming, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Violence. He says, what do you want me to do for you? It's like we went out of sight back. And he restores their sight. These people are violently pushing past obstacles while the religious leaders watch them with scorn because of their behavior for the kingdom. And with that group of disciples in mind, Jesus made two amazing statements, one in Matthew, one in Luke. The one in Matthew again, Matthew 11, verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist, Matthew 3, up until now, Matthew 11, the kingdom of heaven has been experiencing violence, and the violent take it by force. All of those stories. The NIV says it like this: from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful people lay hold of it. Luke 16, 16, New American Standard. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. Everyone is entering it violently. That's the Bible. So this group of desperate individuals, they had a vision of something greater, and they pushed their way past unbelief. They pushed their way past ridicule. They pushed their way past scorn, and they pushed their way past the status quo because they wanted something better. Jesus reigning over their lives. They refused to take no for an answer. Every no led them to a yes. Every no led them to a yes. Tenacity. Every no led them to a yes. Perhaps they can be best described by Jesus' one term, violence. Violent. Are we hungry enough for God's kingdom to be described as violent? Are we hungry enough for God's kingdom to be described as violent? Are you hungry enough? And if not, call on him. He's the King of Hearts. He can take your heart and turn it however he wills. God, make me hungry. God, I want to participate in my missional community as a person of violence. Because your agenda is mine. Absolute dominance over all created things. So allow me to tell a few stories of what God has been doing. And if I'm drawing too small, just say, Ron, that is too small. And I'll course correct myself. So I'm going to begin with like a few individuals. And then we'll go into, if time allows, we'll go into a few stories of what God is doing with the church planting team here. So here's me, Ron Surgeon. And God gave me the privilege a few years ago to invest in, to become best friends with and invest in a man. His name is Ray Sater. Y'all know Ray, right? Some people know Ray. Ray, would you raise your hand? Ray Sater. Love the young man. He's single too, girls. Hey, bro, I got the mic. Oh, my goodness. And so Ray invested in a man named Florencio. He actually led Florencio to Christ. Florencio to Christ. I think they were in Florencio works with Ray. He's on their team, landscaping team. And Ray ended up sharing the gospel with the guy in the car. And he breaks down in tears, weeping in the car. Ray's like, man, I don't know what's going on with this guy. He's crying his socks off. And he actually repented of his sins and put his confidence in Jesus. It's nuts. A coworker. And so Florencio had set up, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this story, but Florencio set up a booth within a flea market, a Hispanic flea market off Jackson. So within this flea market, he would go to Mexico, bring back chairs and sell these chairs. And so Ray would begin to disciple him within this flea market. I would sit there with Ray as he began to train and invest in Florencio team. Together, everyone achieves more. So as he's investing in him there, and people would come along and sit down and just listen in on what was going on. A young man began to sit in with his girlfriend. And his mom owned a booth there. His name is Kiefer. Kiefer is now in El Paso, Texas, there. And later, Kiefer ended up dating this girl he was missionary dating. It's dangerous. For real. Careful. Dangerous. Dulce. And now Dulce is following Jesus. She's now a disciple of King Jesus. But the credit doesn't go to him, so don't missionary date. So Dulce is now following Christ now. And Ray is now investing in her with her new boyfriend. Yeah. And so at this booth within this big compound area, Florencio ended up losing that booth. So he could no longer sell items there. And Ray was walking them through the fundamentals of the Christian life. So since he lost the booth, you know, we would go buy tamales from a Hispanic lady around the corner. Now, this was a shady place. There were barbers there cutting hair with no licenses. There was a strip club in the far back that was hid. Nobody else knew it was there. It was, yeah, it's crazy. But this lady, she was selling us tamales. She had these green tamales she would sell. Tamales in verde sauce. It's amazing. So she says, you could bring your group to meet in my booth. And she would not participate with us. But as we would sit there and Ray would go there consistently, she began to warm up more and more, more and more. Next thing you know, she starts sitting in the group with her Bible. Her name is Nady, the Bible. And her husband would come along every now and then and bring stuff, and he would be looking like, what are these guys doing over here with my wife in this booth? And he's standing in the back, looking, and he would not participate. But she ends up coming to faith in Christ, and man, she is vigilant, coming to faith in Christ. She ends up losing her booth, and now Ray is meeting with them in her house, and I get to join him in that from time to time. And so her husband, Luis, comes to faith in Christ. Their kids, Karen and Christopher, you should hear these kids talk to Jesus in their prayers. And so Christopher and Karen come to faith in Christ, and this group of people have covenant to operate as a church within their home.
That's
just want to do like a Hadouken right here, right now. You know, like, it's amazing. Look what God has done. It's amazing. And Florencio just recruited 6 guys for Ray to invest in. So he's going to have a busy Saturday. And from time to time, I'll try to join him in some of that. But not only that, so he ends up leading Hadar to faith in Christ. Hadar was an Iranian guy, follower of Muhammad. And Ray was like, man, I got to share the gospel with this guy. I just got to share Jesus with him. And he's like, man, I'm going to do it this day. So he went to go share with the guy. And providentially, the man said, someone gave me the Jesus calling book. He said, I've been reading it. It's really touched my heart. He says, I want this. Jesus calling. Like, where you do that at? It's Jesus calling. And so they begin to walk through the Gospel of John. And Ray begins to explain to him the significance of Jesus and Jesus' sovereignty over all things. And also, Jesus being the means by which anything and everything exists. Hadar demotes Muhammad and exalts Christ. So he abandoned his ways for Jesus' ways. Man, this man got God in him. For real. So, and his wife, Kim, came to Christ because of his model, because of his love for Christ. And they get baptized. And now, with Hadar and Kim, they have a missional community that meets within their home. And these people are all parts of local churches here. And so now they're planning with this, with Hadar and Kim and the missional community that meets within their home, they're planning to do House of Peace searches, what our church planning team has been participating in. Isn't that great? Yeah, praise God. Mm-hmm. And there's more to this, but we don't have time. There's a lot more to this. But Ray comes from a lineage of disciple making. His mom is a disciple maker. Maybe not in the same aspect as Ray, but she is. Miss Helen Sater. She's not here, but praise God for her. Miss Helen's disciples, would you please stand? People who were discipled by Miss Helen. All right, only you, Miss Barr. Now, you're two, okay, and Liz. Sorry, Liz, Elizabeth. Now, who's being invested in by Tanya right now? Are you here? Wendy. Boom, boom, boom. All right, Miss Barbara. Boom. Oh, my gosh. Boom, boom. Look what God is doing. This is your church, people. This is happening here. Glory to God. All right. So, now Miss Helen, she was, I recruited Miss Helen to be on my prayer team. It's like, we need people praying. Like, I emailed Miss Helen. I said, Miss Helen, would you pray? Would you pray for what God is doing in the city? It's like, I want to see a multiplying community emerge out of every neighborhood within Memphis. And pray for our church planting team. Like, we need some prayers. Please pray. So Miss Helen began to pray. And you know how I know she was praying? she would consistently ask me, what's happening with this? I'm praying about this. What's happening with that? I'm praying about that. Did anyone come to Christ in this neighborhood? I'm praying about that. I was so encouraged. I said, Miss Helen, we really want to see something happen in the University of Memphis area, in the university district. We want to see a multiplying community happen there. And we really don't have any people to mobilize right now. She said she was praying for that. Another guy was praying, Dr. Farmer and George Muffet was praying. So she was praying for that. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord will spread rapidly, the New International Version, and be honored just as it was with you. The ESV says, pray for us that the message of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored just as it was with you. So, Paul is going forth to, with his team, to go and share the gospel, plant churches, and he tells the Thessalonians, pray for us so that this can happen. So when it does happen, who did it? The answer is yes. I think it's Isaiah 12, verse 24. It says, the Lord will ordain peace for us, and all that we have accomplished, he has done for us. He has done for us all our works. He has done for us all our works. So we're co-laboring with God when we're praying, right? And so the story I'm about to tell you from this, I want you to see that she was just as involved as if she was there in person. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 22, we see Jesus coming along Galilee, and there were brothers, Andrew, James, John, Peter, and he recruits them, right? The text says that they were fishing. They were fishermen. He says, follow me and I'll make you be fishers of men. And when you think of a fisherman, what image do you have in mind? Talk to me. What image do you have in mind of a fisherman? What does he have in his hands? Huh? See, you're saying that. Someone else saying fishing pole. What's the contrast? One individual has a pole. A team has a net. It was Peter and Andrew mending their nets. James and John mending their nets, casting their nets. In John 21, when Jesus says, the guys were out fishing, and they said, we've been here all night, we haven't caught a thing. Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. They was like, we've done that. We've been here all night. Like, don't you think we've cast our net on the other side? We didn't just start this yesterday. So, at your word, they cast their net on the other side. They had so many fish that they couldn't even bring it ashore. They were struggling, but the net didn't break. Notice I said they had so many fish. Saints, this is a call to prayer, that the kingdom of God can once again within our city experience violence. And that the violent can take it by force. But we need you praying. Why do we need you praying? So when we come back and give testimonies of what God can do is doing, we can say, we did it! Not I did it. We did it. We did it. We're fishermen. When Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, you should hear, you all, you guys, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. All hands are on the net when you're praying. So she begins to pray for the university district. And so within the Prescott University of Memphis area / Binghamton, I began to work with a young man. His name is Zach Medlock. We began to train people together. Coincidentally, providentially, he ends up getting a contact with a man named Jeff at the University of Memphis. Jeff is over the BCM, which is like the Baptist commune there. So Jeff says, man, I love what you guys are doing. I love the strategy you're working with and your heart for the Lord. Come and train our students. Like, what? 200 and some students? I'm Miss Helen. Guess what? You know, she said, yeah, guess what? She's like, oh, praise God for that. Like, woo-hoo-hoo. And so we get there, we go do trainings at the U of M and all of that kinds of stuff. And Zach ends up leading his sister to Christ, Bree, and Bud, her boyfriend, comes to faith in Christ. His girlfriend is Callie, Zach's girlfriend. She ends up leading her sister Caitlin to Christ. And some more people come to know the Lord. And out of this group here, we had a few internationals come to faith in Christ, some Taiwanese, Japanese people. And now we have a church at the BCM. They have a group of people who have covenanted to be a church. So there's two. So I'll be here tonight. I'll be at the U of M tonight leading this group here. So the ingredients we see in Acts 2, 37 through 47 that I walked you all through a few months ago are there, are in that group. So that's just a little bit of what has happened there. But Miss Helen, like, we don't even know how that happened. I can't explain that to you. I just know it happened. All hands on the net. Prayers. So, will you be praying? You see the importance of praying? I mean, you'd be just as involved as if you were there in the flesh. There in the flesh. All right. So, I'm going to skip some things. Church planting team. Let me go through one little story right quick. And the church planting team, and I'll just share some other stories next week. But the church planting team, we have Barb Peer, Ray Taylor, Ron and Robin, George Moffitt, DJ, Daniel Freeman, and Kate Larkin. And I tell you, I say this with all authenticity. Man, I thank God for these people. Amen. For real. I seriously thank God for them. Because the stories that what God is doing would be absolutely impossible without them. Couldn't do it without them. And I told them this the other week as we were training together, is that, man, no, it's not about me. It's not my show. And if God didn't bring us together, I would not have anything to say to you guys today. So I really thank God for what God has done in and through them. So Barb and Ray, they end up leading Marcus and Karima to Christ. And I kind of wanted to walk you all through our strategy as we begin to point to some of these names. Ray, was it Karima who had the headache or Laquita who had the Karima who had the headache? We've got some more names to write in a second. But Karima, you know, I think they went to the, you went to her house by mistake at first. Was that her house that you went to on mistake?
Yes.
The first time, yeah. There are no mistakes in the kingdom. But for lack of better words, they go there by mistake. They have cookies. They go in with these cookies as a gift to give to this family. The lady, her head is hurting terribly. Like, they can't even minister to her because she's hurting so bad. What do? They do what Jesus commanded his disciples to do in Luke 10. Pray for the sick. They laid their hands on her. Her headache went away. They preached the gospel. She accepted Jesus. So good, right? Oh my goodness. Like, this is real life. This is real life. So now, this family that has come to faith in Christ, you know, prior to this, their missionary community was leading a study within a lady's home. But this lady and her husband are now getting ready to move to another apartment complex. And so the disciples who are remaining within Camelot are needing a place to gather. So Marcus and Karima, the new disciples who've just come to faith in Jesus, are now hosting a larger group within their home gladly. Hosting gladly. And so they're meeting together on a regular basis. They've already been sharing their story and God's story with people that they know who are far from God. Already. They're reproducing as much, but already that's happening there. So they're now hosting a larger group within their home. And so they end up leading Shannon and a guy named Ray to Christ. All these Rays around here. Right. So they went back to follow up with these people. They weren't at home, but the sister was there. So instead of saying, oh, Shannon and Ray not here, we're going to leave. I said, hey, how are you doing? What's going on with you? So they introduce themselves to her, share their story and God's story with them. And Tracy comes to faith in Jesus. At this present moment, we have disciples in three separate apartment complexes. We'd have had four, but in the fourth one, some of the groups dissolved. We had people to move out of town. We went to one house and expecting to see a man named Cleisha and his girlfriend, a man named Cleve and his girlfriend, Alicia. And we go to the door, knock on the door, and another family is there. We're like, who are you? And they're like, who are you? But we end up developing a relationship with a new family. So basically, within this apartment complex, we're starting all over again. And the one I'm speaking of is Chickasaw Apartments in Binghamton. So we have to start all over again there. But these people end up coming to faith in Christ, and they're having a hard time following up with these. But out of that group, the group that was meeting before they came to faith in Christ, Antonio and his wife, now believers. But Antonio's the guy, you've probably heard me tell the story of a man who had chemicals splashed in his eyes, couldn't see. They prayed for him. God restored his sight. It's him. So these aren't overseas mission stories. What time I got, Chris? 2 minutes? 3? Hurry up. Sir, yes, sir. All right. So let's end with this last one, and we'll get to George and DJ and Kate next week. So Robin and I, we ended up going to the house, knocking on the door. They let us in, a man named Lincoln, a girl named Kimberly with their three kids. So we go into the house. They let us in. We give them some breakfast burritos and tell them we're in the neighborhood praying for people. Want to know if we could just pray for you guys. They say, yes, we could pray for you. And so we go in and we gather with the family. We pray for all the kids there. We left. We came back. I don't know if they were there the next time we came back. We couldn't get in contact with them. And finally, we end up seeing them. They said, we thought you guys were never coming back. It's like, we've been over here. You weren't at home. So they let us in, and we began to share our story and God's story with them. And we had the guy to profess faith in Christ, the wife, and their son, Kai. And so the last time we went over there, we sat down with them, and we had cooked hamburgers. And we cooked hamburgers, and we watched the Lakers play. Not the Lakers. Spurs. Watched the Spurs play. And so we watched the Spurs play, and in halftime, we practiced the Lord's Supper. At halftime. And we prayed for one another, and we talked about what we were thankful for concerning Jesus. And after that, we ate, and we watched the game again. And so we're filtering in these ingredients into these groups and discipling these ingredients into these families so that it can become normal for our time with them. And this is just a little evidence of what God is doing. And we've had, I could tell you a story of us walking up with these few guys and just sharing the gospel with these guys. Drawing on the ground like Jesus did. Now, on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean, near New England, there are several places where ships would be caught in a storm. And there were crews designated to go and help these ships in distress. One night, there was a very forceful storm accompanied by lightning, heavy rain, and it was in the middle of the night, and a call was made to the rescue squad to go and help this ship. And so the crew needed to evacuate as soon as possible. The captain of the rescue squad came and told the team, he says, prepare to sail. And that night, the men were kind of afraid because they knew how terrible the storm was. But they were still prepared to cast off and to go and help the ship. Just before they were ready to leave the safety of the harbor, a member of the rescue squad, who was relatively new, he says to the captain, with a face filled with concern, he says, sir, do you think we should go out in these conditions? We might not come back. The old captain, a veteran for many years in rescuing ships in distress, he slowly turned to the seaman and he gave this reply. We have to go out there, but we don't have to come back. Jesus set his face like flint, the Bible says, on his journey to Jerusalem. His disciples tried to prevent him. He says the Son of Man will be tortured by the scribes and the Pharisees. He says they would beat me, they would torment me, they will spit in my face. Peter says, Lord, that doesn't have to happen to you. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Jesus knew he had to go to Jerusalem, and he knew what would happen to him when he got there. So whatever it took, he was willing to do it all because no sacrifice was too great for him to have you as his own. And in the footsteps of Jesus, we too have to go. And we'll come back later when our King comes in all his glory. And the power of the holy angels will be present with him. And so today, we'll honor our King in the practice of the Lord's Supper. Our King who laid down his life and who showed us what sacrifice is all about. The honor and the glory of God. And so would you come reverently in respect to Jesus to eat and drink at his table.